What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
All right, start the app over. I mean, we could just open with that. Let's, you know what?
Welcome back.
Let's open with that.
To another episode of the Bleacher Boys Media Podcast. Guys, the trade deadline came and went. We haven't talked about it yet. I'm so excited to talk about it. So let's get into it. Let's go, Yanks. Welcome back to another episode of the Bleacher Boys Media Podcast. It is Wednesday or Thursday? Somewhere between Wednesday and Thursday. We are Thursday morning. Let's get into it. The trade stuff happened. We hadn't talked to you guys in a while. But anyway, how are we doing, Isaac?
We're doing good. Going on a little vacation here in beautiful downtown Albany. Shout out Marilyn, nice. Alexis, Juliet, Sammy. Sammy letting me stay in her room, so... Bleach Boys Media Team appreciates that. As you guys do or do not know, my whole house has COVID currently, so I'm just trying to do a little getaway here. I'm pretty good. The shock of the trade deadline, especially the last 2 minutes, that's kind of set in. So we'll definitely talk about that. But for the most part, I've kind of calmed down since the big move at the end there, and I'm ready to talk some baseball.
But before we do that, can I ask you a question? You know, this isn't question of the day stuff, but, like, I did see something on your story that kind of caught my eye. I hadn't asked you yet. What's going on with your car recently?
Oh, yeah. So I actually got in an accident a couple days ago. Like a week ago. Tuesday. It was actually on the day before my birthday, so last Monday. I hit the back of a school bus, which is very unique, but it doesn't really count because it was only half of a school bus. So, like, it was only half of a school bus, so it was really, it's fine. But basically, I was at a yield.
Was it a stop?
The school bus was at a yield sign. I was right behind it. It was actually in Montvale, like, when you merge on to go to, like, you know, where you try to go to, like, Tommy's house, you go, like, to Saddle River?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's, like,
yeah,
a yield sign there right past, like, the gas station. And the bus, like, leeches forward, like, it's going to start going. So I start inching up at, like, 2-3 miles an hour. I check to see if there's traffic coming. Okay, no traffic incoming. I slam on the brakes. I slam on the brakes because the bus had just, like, stopped abruptly. And I just, like, hit the back of the bus at, like, you know, 2-3 miles an hour. My car's destroyed. I hit a metal, you know, it's, the back is, like, a big black piece of metal. So the bus is completely fine. So, yeah, I mean, okay. I kind of pissed at myself. Obviously, it's my fault, but at the same time, did not think the bus would be going forward and then stopping right away.
Yeah. Is it a big expense to fix?
Well, no, because the insurance is paying for it. So I only have to pay $500 for it, which is pretty good considering it's like $3,500 of damage. So
wow. Okay. Good way to start off the app right now. Where do we want to start? Should we do this chronologically? We talked about the Benny trade. We didn't talk about the big Montas trade. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I guess
quick?
We'll jump right into it. I mean, this is exactly what the Yankees needed to do. For those of you who watch our Instagram, you know that we were really, really pushing for Castillo. That doesn't happen. We get the second best option, Frankie Montas from the Oakland Athletics. I don't even remember the package. Oh, yes, I do. They gave up Waldichuk, which is their, you know, I think what was that? Like their eighth, seventh prospect?
Seventh prospect. Yep, that was the big guy.
And then a bunch of other ones that are like 15 and a little higher. So really happy with that move. As we're going to talk about in a little bit, Yanks need pitching depth. So this was a great move up until they did something else. but yeah, the Montas stuff is great. And then we get Trevino too, who in the past has been nasty. A little awkward without a beard though. He does look a little weird. So I'm wondering what your take was on that.
I mean, okay, let's just recap real quick. Ken Waldichuk, obviously, J.P. Sears, and then Luis Medina, we were both kind of high on. And then, yeah, I like Medina a lot, too. He's been talked about, highly touted prospect for a while now. He was in the Futures game with the Yankees for a couple years ago. Throws 100, tall, righty. Kind of looks like Luis Gil a little bit. Was excited, but you know what? If that's the price you have to pay for a year and a half of Montas and what was it, 2.5 years of Trevino. I'm more than down for that. I thought we'd definitely have to give up Peraza for a trade for Montas, and apparently not. So Cash does his thing again. Trevino obviously has the inflated ERA this year, 6 point something, middle 6.5-ish. But, you know, he's been nasty. Last year he got 22 saves with an ERA in the threes. So hopefully Matt Blake can fix things up a little bit there. And then Montas, obviously, a year and a half of Montas is great for the Yankees. Tyone is a free agent after this year. Don't know what's going to happen there. Sevy's obviously injured, and his question marks are always there with injuries history. And then Nestor, he's obviously amazing, but innings limit stuff. Can he consistently keep this up? Who knows? Cole, now we have question marks about Cole. So Montas being that solid number two, maybe number three starter for a year and a half for the Yanks, huge pickup. And yeah, I mean, excited to watch him pitch this Sunday.
Yeah, Montas is definitely the good move. This is the ask we've been, you know, we need a certified number two. And obviously it can't be Luis Severino because I don't know if we talked about it, but obviously they 60-day IL'd him. Personally, I think that he's fine. I think that the Yankees are babying him because they want him to pitch in the postseason. I think the only reason they did it is so that he can rest. Whether you agree with that or not is, you know, not really, you know, important. But yeah, it's sad to see. And this is the whole big issue with – I'm going to skip to it. This is the whole big issue with trading Monty is that, you know, you had the pitching depth, you got more pitching depth, and then you traded away pitching depth. Jordan Montgomery was the most reliable pitcher on this team, honestly. Like, obviously, Nestor was really, really good in the beginning. He's had his struggles. Jordan Montgomery's only ever let up 4 runs once or twice this year, and he's an innings eater. Dude has thrown, like, 5 or more innings. I think it was, like, 10 or 12 times. His record does not reflect the amount of quality starts he's had, but he was just an absolute consistent stud. And this is really where we're hurt, where we're hurting right now. So I really don't know what the plan is.
Yeah, the Yankees traded Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals for Harrison Bader, who is on the IL, expected to come back in mid-September. When the trade happened, it was still, what, like 5 minutes before the deadline? I was definitely 2 minutes before the deadline. I was definitely expecting another starting pitching move as a buzzer beater move. Like, a Pablo Lopez seems so I thought Pablo Lopez was to the Yankees was definitely happening after that Monty trade. And then after, we later find out, I saw some tweets from Marlins reporters that it was definitely close, Pablo to the Yankees. Apparently, the Marlins backed out last minute. Don't know if that was the plan for Cashman. Like, would Cashman have done this deal if he knew that Pablo wasn't coming?
What I think happened is that this was obviously, like, people been saying this is a series of two moves where you get rid of one starting pitcher and you acquire another one, right? And I think that they didn't really do the order of operations thing correctly. Like, they got rid of the player. Like, and then they tried to get it and something fell through. I'm pretty sure that the only reason they made the Jordan Montgomery move is because the Marlins had, like, given them some, like, kind of assurance that, oh, yeah, like, this Pablo thing's going to happen. Or maybe, you know, Cashman's analytics team has told him, like, oh, yeah, they like this package or whatever.
Yeah.
But some real funny business because it just doesn't make sense to do it 2 minutes before. I wonder why they still pulled the trigger on it without having secured Pablo Lopez. Just very, very weird stuff going on.
And then Jack Curry later on the Yes Network, obviously take it with a grain of salt because Jack Curry works for the Yankees, but he was explaining the deal as a deal that Yankees needed to make because of the October roster stuff. Monty wouldn't have made a start in the playoffs. Monty wasn't a good arm to move to the bullpen. And then Harrison Bader could obviously be a huge defensive piece in center field. Could be a pinch running guy. I love Harrison Bader, the player. I love having him on the Yankees, but the trade in itself just doesn't make any sense. Like, you don't trade your number three starter for Harrison Bader. Like, if this was a trade that the Yankees gave up, I don't know, that their top 10 prospect for Harrison Bader, I would be ecstatic. Like, Harrison Bader's an exciting player, one of the best defensive center fielders out there, so... Bader, I'm excited for. Monty, losing Monty, not so much.
Yeah, and it's all about what you get in return too. If we give up Jordan Montgomery for if we give up Jordan Montgomery and a prospect for like a better starting pitcher, okay, I'm okay with that. The issue is you're getting rid of a guy who's played in the postseason. Now, I understand, like, I think the Yankees just don't like Jordan Montgomery. Like, I don't understand why, because he's a homegrown guy. He's reliable. He doesn't complain. He's good with the media. But, you know, all throughout his career with the Yankees, they would pull him in games. They would not trust him, you know, third time through the order. They would do a lot of weird stuff with him that, you know, they wouldn't do with Nestor. And almost they trust Tyone more, which doesn't make any sense because, I mean, Jordy has been the more consistent pitcher, definitely. Yeah. And I think I kind of agree, like, with the Jack Curry thing. I was even thinking that before he said it, is that, you know, I don't know if the Yankees saw Montgomery getting a playoff start. But regardless, you still want the ability to have him. Let's say Nestor Cortes Jr. and Tyone get injured in the last month. Well, now you're really screwed. You know, because you need that yourself,
safety blanket.
Yeah, exactly. So even if Jordan Montgomery is not going to get a start, you know, you still got to keep him around. Like, I mean, I don't think that one roster spot is really taking away anything. I think if anything, you have Monty as the opener, you know, in a playoff game, and then you can bring in whoever. Because obviously Jordan Montgomery takes a long time to get going, takes him, you know, a couple innings to find his stuff. But yeah, this is just another reason why this move doesn't make any sense to me. At all.
Yeah. You were saying something about possibly this affecting the Yankees team chemistry vibes. You want to hit on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like you've been seeing, the starting pitchers are really close this year. You always see them, you know, talking pitching. They're all next to each other in the games. They're throwing bubble gum. They're having a good time. And you know, Jordan Montgomery's been here since, what, like 2016, 2017?
17, yeah.
So, I mean, that is a big chemistry buster. And you heard Tyone talk about it. He's like, he was one of my best friends there. And you know, I'm not saying why the Yankees pitch bad this last series, but, I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, not having one of your best friends there. You know, it kind of feels like, you know, oh, wow, if he went, like, what's my fate? You know, and you start to question yourself. And there's definitely a mental aspect to that. So I think it's just an odd move. Especially for someone who's been in the system so long, you know, you would rather have gotten rid of Jameson Taillon over him.
Yeah, and Monty still had next year to go too under his team control. Like Taillon, he has 2 months left, and then we'll see what he gets in free agency. But yeah, it's tough, man. Like the Yankees were looking to get starting pitching. They were out there asking about Quintana. They were out there asking about Pablo Lopez, and then you got like it's such a mind-boggling move that. I've tried these last few days to wrap my head around what the Yankees were thinking. Like, the Yankees always try to make that that sneaky, smart move. They think they're the smartest team in the league. They try to go out there and make a move that people don't expect and then play out later and be like, yo, watch, look, you should have seen this coming, like the Clay Holmes stuff. But I can't find anything that makes this even remotely close to making sense. So I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah, just, I mean, and for us, I mean, I am probably the biggest Jordan Montgomery fan in in Yankees land. Like, I don't, like, I know a lot of people like him, like, solid pitcher. I am, like, a Jordy fan. Like I would actually buy his jersey, but obviously that's out the window now. Maybe I'll get a Cardinals.
We were talking about that, like, literally last episode.
Yeah, but they don't make jerseys, whatever, it's t-shirt jerseys of him, and I'm not paying, like, $130 for a Jordan Montgomery jersey, no offense. So, yeah, it's sad for me, too. He was, like, he also brought a really, like, funny, scent, you know, dry humor type of guy. He's, you know, he's a guy a lot like a Corey Kluber or DJ LeMahieu. You know, he's very stoic, and he's funny in how awkward he is. And, you know, like, I think we should pull up the clip. We have a whole segment about Jordan Montgomery's mom, his girlfriend is like. I mean, we really like Jordy, like, and that's why this is actually really sad. It's because we are two huge fans of Jordan Montgomery, so really
and
sad
fuck
to see him go.
Fuck my second half Cy Young pick too, by the way.
Oh yeah, I mean,
Jordy
I guess if this is Bleacher Boys Media Cardinals, I guess you could still give him that. But
we'll see how he does over there.
Guess you're out on that. And I guess I'm out on the Garrett Cole Cy Young second half.
We're kind of
missing. Dude has like a 4 ERA now. So I think that's a good segment to get into the series, no?
Wait, hold on. Joey Gallo? Scott Efros? Okay, Joey Gallo, dude. Cashman did his thing, man. They got Clayton Beter, who's now the Yankees' top 10 prospect for Joey Gallo, for 2 months of Joey Gallo.
Yeah, and this pretty is impressive. This is why you idiots. I'm not gonna say you idiots because our valued fans, but people
don't lose our
people on Instagram, on Twitter, saying, "Oh, DFA him, DFA him, DFA him." Like, this is why you don't DFA him, because we got a pretty substantial return. I mean, you know, a number 10 prospect is nothing to sneeze at. Don't think that's the expression, but you know, it's good that we got something out of it. I'm actually a little surprised that that's the Dodgers' outfield move. The whole point is Joey Gallo couldn't handle the big lights, and it's not like that's like a smaller market. Obviously, maybe the fans are more patient there.
I don't know.
What did you think about all the Crimea River Joey Gallo stuff?
Let's be honest here. So when I first read it, I've already been feeling bad for Joey. I felt bad for Joey even more. Obviously, he was trying his best. The stuff about how he couldn't walk the streets of New York, like, that's just sad, man.
But like, did you think like, oh, dude, boohoo, like, you didn't play good, like, dude, why are you
that.
Like,
I'm gonna
why
honest,
are you
I
like blaming the fans for booing you? Like, dude, if you're hitting a 0.59 in the last like what 100 at bats, like,
yeah,
dude,
I saw the
bad.
Michael K stuff. I saw the other people talking about it. I didn't think like he was blaming the fans for. I think he was just being pretty honest with how he felt at the moment about New York. I don't think he was blaming the fans for his performance. It was kind of sounded that way because he was on his way out. But
I agree. It's just like, you know, he was being really honest with the situation. Like, yeah, it sucks. Like, it must be a really shitty feeling. I think Michael K was just kind of, you know, after he's gone, said all that stuff, like, you know, because basically all the fans feel that way. Like, I'd say 98% of fans dislike Joey Gallo. So that's kind of what they want to hear. So there's some, you know, there's definitely an entertainment TV thing going on there. Yeah. But still, I mean, it did seem a little whiny about how, like, you know, oh, they just boo me all the time. Like, I mean, yeah, dude. Like, if you're bad in New York, they're going to, like, it's not, like, unwarranted booing is basically what Michael K.
But I think he understands that. Like, he's saying that while understanding what, like, he had to deal with and why he was getting booed. Like, I don't know. Joey, I think that was a really good answer for that question, too. Like, I appreciate him being honest and telling us how he really feels right now, you know? Like, if it was, I don't know, someone else, he might be just giving us a quick, I don't know. People hate the Yankees after they don't. Like, Sonny Gray, he had some hard feelings against the Yankees when he left, and he didn't perform well. So, Joey, I don't know. I hope he does well in L.A. I don't know if L.A. is a good fit for him, but.
And, like you know, like everyone said on Twitter and like I said it on Instagram, you already know Yankees-Dodgers World Series, Yankee Stadium, Joey Gallo is hitting a grand slam. Like, it's just going to happen now. Like, he's going to just perform. He's going to have his big, like, comeback moment.
Who's it going to be against? Wandy?
It's going to be, like, on, like, a high fastball by, like, Chapman, like, 99, like, right at his head. Like, of course he can't touch that on the Yankees. And then he catches up to, like, a 99 fastball. We're like, okay, fuck you, Joey Gallo. Like, seriously? Yeah. Like, but, I mean,
hopefully that doesn't decide the game. Hopefully it's, like, a 7-1 Yankee lead. Bring in Licky, and then Joey goes deep. Because I can root for that.
If anyone throws a low pitch to him, they just haven't read the scouting report, so.
And then the last move is Scott Efros from the Cubs. He's a really good reliever. I found it funny that I personally did not know who Scott Efros was before this trade, and I'm assuming a lot of Yankee fans didn't either. But I love how as soon as he's on the Yankees, they see his numbers, they see his highlights, and then they talk about him like he's the best reliever in baseball or top reliever in baseball. I am excited about Scott Efros though. He also is another guy that's funny without a beard. But I think we can get used to more than Trevino.
He kind of gives me some like Darren O'Day vibes, like a younger Darren O'Day. Like he is exactly that's who the Yankees signed like last year. Who he ended up retiring, right?
Or he got hurt, yeah. And then
he got hurt and then just ended up retiring. He's kind of that like you know that funky piece in the bullpen. Like that's actually very much needed because you got your flamethrowers, you got you know Loaiza, Chappie, you got you know Holmes, you got a lot of guys who can throw 100. So it's really nice to have like a different view, you know, kind of a three-quarter sidearm type guy. So it's, you know, really nice to have that. And I'm excited for him to be on the team. I think he provides a great look. It's another righty. He's actually better against lefties than he is righties. So that's a very interesting thing looking forward to. So,
yeah. And then to wrap up this trade stuff, man, I was really impressed that the Yankees held on to Peraza, Volpe, Dominguez, Austin Wells, Pereira. What are the other guys? Like, the top five prospects the Yankees held on to, and they got everything they needed. So it kind of shows you how great the Yankees' depth is in the minor league system and their great player development system, because they just gave away 8 of their top 30 prospects to get everything they needed. And then everyone we know, names-wise, is still on the Yankees organization. So kind of cool.
And you know, obviously this is not Yankees, but Juan Soto going over the Padres, they gave up the equivalent to Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe. They gave their whole top of the system. And obviously, Juan Soto, generational player, and that Padres lineup is freaking nasty now. But, you know, they gave up their entire farm system this trade deadline, you know, acquiring other guys too, Drury. They really shipped it in. I think some people in Yankees world would be mad about if they gave up their top five for him, which is dumb in some ways because you don't want a prospect hug. But I think also that the Yankees didn't want to trade their whole system for Juan Soto because they have no intention of re-signing him. So you're basically just giving up your entire, you know, farm system for the next 10 years for a guy who you're only going to have for like a year, 2 years. Granted, that's, you know, a good window, but if they're going to pay Judge, it just wasn't going to happen.
On top of that, I just don't think the Yankees had enough to match the Cardinals and Padres offers. Like, the Yankees would have to given up like a Gleyber Torres, like a major league ready player on top of their top five prospects.
It would have been like Gleyber, Volpe, the Martian, and like one more prospect.
When you start having to take from your major league roster, it just doesn't become, it's not worth it.
I mean, you look at it in a couple different ways. I mean, Juan Soto is...
No, I know. You know how big I am on Juan Soto, getting Juan Soto. But
I mean, there's never a price that's too high for Juan Soto.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the Padres, ever. Like, the Padres were just more desperate than the Yankees, though. Like, they really needed to make that move, so...
Yeah, because they're scared of the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers are probably the second best team in baseball, so if you want to compete, you gotta...
Who do you have coming out of the National League? Does this change anything? Braves, Mets, Padres, Dodgers?
I think it's all about the pitching, because you're always going to score runs, and, you know, the postseason's all about pitching. So, you know, Padres staff, you know, if Blake Snell can be good out there, I mean, you got three potential aces. You got Musgrove, you got Darvish, obviously you got Snell. So, you know, if their pitching holds up, they are a very scary team. Obviously, they have, like, probably the best lineup in baseball now. But then you can never count the Dodgers out because, you know, Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts is almost equal to that.
Yeah.
Mets fans
out there?
Yeah, fuck the Mets, dude. They're not – like, I don't care if you have DeGrom and Scherzer. They're not scoring against – like, their offense is not good enough. Tyler Naquin is not saving your season. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Vogelbach, good player, not saving your season. Pete Alonso, good player. He can't carry the team. If he gets if Pete Alonso slumps during
of
the playoff slump,
goodbye,
it's over.
Goodbye, Tommy. Yeah, it's over.
Frankie Lindor is hitting, like, .245. Like, you know? So
yeah.
So, fuck the Mets.
Can you give me a team that's coming out of the National League?
I mean, I think it's the Dodgers until you prove you can beat them.
Okay, I'm going Braves. I think the Braves are going to make a run here. They made some nice sneaky moves. Okay, this is getting into non-Yankee stuff, but, you know, baseball fans.
Maybe we'll do an all baseball pod someday.
Yeah, me, you, Ollie.
Like, you know,
we need Ollie on that.
Yeah, we do. Us three. It'd be like, I mean, we're just copying talking baseball at this point. But
yeah, we got the athlete and which one's that? I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Ollie's not the athlete, dude.
Definitely not. Ollie's more of a... Not many Ollie comps out there, honestly. He's a personality that you don't find out there.
He's definitely unique.
Okay. Are we done with trade? That's it, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to... I have actually a great segue.
Okay, give it to me.
I was just going to say, when we're talking about Scott Efros... The facial expressions during that game were priceless. I have never seen someone so sweaty and so nervous and like so like obviously nervous in the game. He just needed to get that first start out of the way. He mentioned that in the post game. But yeah, let's segue into this Mariners series. What do you got on this? What do you got on this shitty series?
So the Yankees obviously drop a series to the Seattle Mariners, a potential playoff team, potential playoff matchup. But you know, this was a tough series for the Yankees. The pitching wasn't there. Our worries are emphasized with Tyone struggling, with Cole struggling. So you know, let's get into it. We want to start with
Starting pitching.
Starting pitching, yeah, let's do it. Guess who had the best start?
Yeah, really.
My guy Domingo.
Yeah, a lot of Domingo haters out there, but you know what? He has some good stuff. Like when his curveball's on and his fastball's moving, he can pitch. And if you remember back to 2018, he was third in the Cy Young or something in the AL. In the 2018 season.
He was good.
He was top five. No, he was good. He had like 2.5 ERA for like half the year. So, you know,
I do remember that.
This is another thing, quick side note, is that the Yankees picked Domingo Germán over Jordan Montgomery. They basically think that Domingo is better out of the bullpen, better to fill in for Sevy until
this
time.
Which we do agree with, that Domingo fits out of the bullpen better.
Oh, out of the bullpen better, yeah. but Jordan Montgomery is the better pitcher, 100%. Yes, I mean, yes, there's not, yes, it's not even close.
Yes, yes, yes.
So yeah, and then start to the bad stuff. Jameson Taillon, terrible. 4 runs. His stuff is just not good. Like
5 runs.
Jameson Taillon's stuff doesn't move. His curveball hangs. His fastball isn't, you know, velocity. He doesn't have enough velocity to blow you away. So he's just kind of sitting there like medium 94, 95. From a righty is really not, you know, nothing crazy with when he has so little movement. So he's kind of been bad as of late. Dude still is tied for wins in the AL, which is another Jordan Montgomery point. Insane.
Well,
every time he pitches, Yankees score for him.
Justin Verlander has like 14.
Yeah, no, he's tied for second.
Okay, yeah.
Should
we talk about Cole, or should we save that for some rotten stuff?
I mean, I'll talk about Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole has been a disappointment this year. I have nothing else to say. I mean, you have like the third or fourth worst hitting team in the AL, and they don't have their two best hitters, and they put up a 6 spot on him in the first couple innings, and he's just staring at the Yankee dugout like asking like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, sorry, you're getting paid $36 million a year. Like, you can't have starts like this. And what is that, his third bad start in the last, like, five outings? Like, Cole, let me pull up some numbers.
He had 3 bad starts in a row. 6 innings, 3 earned runs against the Orioles. 5 earned runs against the Royals? No. 5 earned runs is his last outing before this, and then 6 here. I've been a pretty avid Gerrit Cole supporter, but I can't support you when you're giving up 6 runs in the first inning and you look like the worst pitcher in baseball, never mind an ace. So it's really unacceptable. It's pathetic to give up 6 runs in the first inning in a rubber match against the Mariners with Luis Castillo on the bump for them. Big time matchup. It's hyped up in the Bronx, and you can't go out there and give us 6. So
yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't have this like numbers figured out, but for someone getting paid over $30 million, I think Cole has the most bad starts, like 5 or more runs. I saw someone on Twitter say that. This is not confirmed, but for the amount of money he makes, he should not have a 3.6 ERA. That is like borderline unacceptable. And I know you're allowed to have some stinkers, but man, when he gets hit so hard. And, you know, I see a lot of people doing the spider tack dance saying his slider doesn't break anymore. He doesn't trust his fastball. You know, Gerrit Cole definitely hears the noise. That definitely plays a role. Like, you know, you always hear, like, in interviews, oh, I don't listen to the crowd. I don't listen to the media, blah, blah, blah.
Bullshit.
You know, Joey Gallo, for example, I heard it every day. So if you're sitting here, you got everyone in New York talking about Gerrit Cole is getting paid this amount of money, you know, how is he not being like a dominant ace? Like, he hears that stuff, and it definitely doesn't help. If he doesn't have a good postseason this year, God help him, because he might not be able to show his face in New York. If he has like a terrible start in the playoffs like this, I mean,
yeah, good segue, because I wanted to talk about that. As much as we hate on Cole's regular season blowups, his career, his legacy in New York will be decided on how he pitches in the playoffs. A couple months from now, we're not going to remember this 6-earned run outing against Seattle. We're not going to remember the blowup in Detroit. It's all going to come down to how he does in the playoffs. He still has time to redeem himself. If he's motherfucking Garrett Cole from 2017-2018 in the playoffs, New York will come around on him. So,
do you entertain the spider attack idea?
Do you?
I mean, if you look at his numbers trajectory, they've been going down, or his ERA has been going up ever since they banned spider attack.
But
I mean, there is something to be said that your slider doesn't break as much. If you look at
his stuff, is two there, of the home though. Runs. It's just that one
it's,
inning,
but
and then
not.
After that,
he doesn't.
He
doesn't trust his stuff.
It's okay. So
I mean,
I saw a tweet breaking down Cole's terrible outings this year. 80% of his earned runs come in one inning. That's insane.
That doesn't matter. You can't have starts like that.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying his stuff is still there. After that first inning, he goes 5 shutout, 8 strikeouts. So
awesome. That's so cool. That's so cool that he did great after that. Like, how many times have we talked about Garrett Cole? Like, oh yeah, he had that really really awful inning, but then he went out there and shoved. Like, it doesn't matter. When you're facing Castillo, you cannot give up more than 3 runs probably. And Castillo looked bad, and he still only let up 3 runs. Like, what's the difference between Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom, Castillo, all these pitchers? Their bad starts are like 2 to 3 runs.
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
Garrett Cole, I know. I'm just stating it for the fans. Garrett Cole's bad starts are like 5 to 6 runs. Like, that's not acceptable. And he's also, I think he's almost given up the most home runs by an AL pitcher this year. He's getting close. He was definitely in the top 5 in that. It's unacceptable. And you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm worried about it now. I'm definitely worried about him pitching now in the postseason, everything, which is again, unacceptable. We should not have to worry about our $36 million ace worried if he'll give up less than 5 runs. Like, that's just not okay.
And guess where Garrett Cole's headed next weekend? Rafael Devers in Fenway Park. We'll see, man.
If he has another bad start there, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
In his last 15 games, he has a 3.38 ERA, 40 earned runs. What?
Yeah, I mean, he has 11 in the last 2 starts.
40 earned runs, and he's 6-4. Holy crap. Yeah, in his last 7 games, 23 earned runs allowed, 10 walks. He gets strikeouts, but, like, who freaking cares?
Yeah. Strikeouts are overrated, man. Go get your ground balls. Get your pitch count low. Go deep into games.
Get your Jordan Montgomery starts. 5 innings, 1-2 runs. How's that?
Yeah, man. It's tough, dude. Garrett Cole, man. What's your confidence level of him performing well in the playoffs?
Low. Very low. Very low.
Nestor over Cole game 1? Are you going to go out and say that?
I would think about if Montas pitches well. I think Yankees should, first game of the playoffs, like, set the tone. They should go with whoever's pitching well. If they blindly do the ace stuff and they get off to a bad start, we have to crawl our way back. I mean, just imagine, we're having this great year. We go into the first game of the postseason. Cole lets up 5 runs in the first.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the scenes of that.
Oh boy, I'm deleting Twitter.
I would say go with whoever's pitching well. Like, I actually think this has gotten to a point now with Garrett Cole that it's same thing with Chapman. You don't just we're not there yet. But if he has another couple bad starts in a row, he's not guaranteed. He's not guaranteed to start the first game, or he shouldn't be, at least. You know? Just like Chapman's not guaranteed to pitch the 9th after being shit all year.
Okay,
like,
well,
I think the Yankees should operate on, like, kind of like the Tampa Rays basis, where it's like whoever's pitching good, like, you're going to throw.
Okay,
So Montas pitching good, Nestor pitching good, start him.
Okay.
Start whoever's hot.
I'm not there yet with Garrett Cole yet, because I'm a little bit more of a supporting fan. I wouldn't compare Garrett Cole's struggles to Chapman's struggles. Chapman was broken. I wouldn't say Garrett Cole's that far over on the spectrum yet.
No, that's what I said. I said it's a little bit of a stretch, but, like, it's similar in that he shouldn't be guaranteed something when you're not playing good. Aaron Judge should be guaranteed to be in the lineup, right? That's what I'm saying. Garrett Cole doesn't deserve that yet.
I'm not there yet. I think Garrett Cole still is the guaranteed number one game one starter. We'll see how Montas pitches. We'll see how Garrett Cole finishes the year. Like, at the end of the year, Garrett Cole's numbers will be there. I'm going to guess, 3.233 ERA-ish with 14, 15 wins.
He's like 360 right now. That's 3.5. That's not nothing to get down. That's
tough, but
3.57, so we're rounding up.
3.56, so I'm getting close to 3.55. It's going to be interesting to see how Garrett Cole finishes out the year. A lot of eyes are going to be on him. But again, playoffs are going to be what Garrett Cole's legacy is defined for. So I'm excited, man. I've pretty good confidence he'll bounce back in next start. Cardinals, I think. Is he going to get a start in St. Louis? Maybe not. He just pitched. I doubt it. It's probably going to be in Seattle, so facing this.
Where are they off day
today? 3-3 in St. Louis, and then 3 in Seattle. Bounce back against Seattle, man. You have to. You have to. Okay, let's talk about the bullpen, man. You talked about Chapman a little bit. His last four outings, I don't think I have to read you the stats, but four innings, shutout, obviously. One hit, no walks. That's huge in Chapman's book. Five or six strikeouts. So he's you know, baby steps, obviously, but he's making his way back a little bit.
Yeah, going back to the Royals series, he was throwing 102 again, 101.9, which is really, really good to see. Because usually when he's, not feeling the fastball, he's aiming it, which leads to a decrease in velocity. So he's throwing like 97, 96. Obviously not, that's not slow, but for Chapman, it's really good sign to see that he's throwing 100 again consistently. Man, if he just trusts his fastball, throw your fastball and then you throw the slider. Because if you just throw slider, 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 it's not that good of a pitch. It's only a good pitch because you throw 100.
Yeah. How's that?
How's that? So he cannot rely on get me over sliders. Like, you have to be able to locate your fastball. Especially in the situations late in the game where, there's a lot of pressure, you got to get your fastball going first player, and you can't get in a situation where you're just throwing slider after slider, because that's how you let up home runs. So, but he pitched well the last couple of times, which is good to see. Again, this is not against like insane hitters. Like, I would honestly want to see how Chapman navigated, like, the Red Sox lineup, for instance, the Cardinals lineup. Like, if he can have a couple clean innings against the Red Sox, against the Cardinals, I'm like back to like three quarters trust with him. But
yeah, a lot of optimism though. Like, if Chapman can come back to be like a good seventh, eighth inning man, like, we need that right now. And Jonathan Loaisiga, we can talk about him a little bit. He's looking better and better as his season continues. Him and Chapman were kind of in the same boat. They were both struggling with their best pitch, sinker for Loaisiga, and then the fastball for Chapman. They're both kind of trusting it now again. Loaisiga's getting ground balls, striking out hitters now, and his slider's looking a lot better. His curveball's coming back a little bit. He's throwing a lot of changeups now. So Loaisiga's also encouraging to see that he's coming back a little bit.
Yeah, he still doesn't look great.
Yeah,
to be
honest with you, Chapman's looked more encouraging,
better than Loaisiga.
We need both of those guys badly, so hopefully they can continue to make baby steps and continue to get better. Because Clay Holmes, we could talk about Clay Holmes a little bit. He's not been the Clay Holmes of the first 3 months recently. Blew the game against the Royals, so I mean, I still have full trust in Clay Holmes, but with Clay Holmes, he wasn't going to be the 0.3 ERA guy, obviously. So he's kind of coming back to the mean a little bit. What's his ERA? Like 1.7-ish. Still amazing. Yeah. Okay. So
he's still the closer though. He would have to have like 3 or 4 bad outings in a row to be the.
It just kind of worries
again.
Me that the Yankees don't really have a certified seasoned veteran who's on top of his game right now in the bullpen for the playoffs, that's experienced that crazy atmosphere in the Bronx. rookie closer. Chapman's coming back from a broken state. Loizic has never been there. Britton, who's been there, is coming back from injury, but he's not like at the top of his game. Green, someone who's been there, but he's out. Wandy hasn't been there. Marinaccio, rookie. The bullpen kind of worries me a little bit, not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I concur. I think that, you know, as we lost Michael King, which is actually really bad because he was one of our more consistent guys. And like you said, yeah, Clay Holmes not, you know, not used to the huge amount of pressure. But to be honest, I mean, Chapman, I still wouldn't take over Holmes right now. But yeah, it's definitely a concern. And this is another reason why you don't trade, you know, pitching depth, you know, because you can put Domingo Germán in there and he can stretch out and Jordan Montgomery can get a start. So another reason
Everything
why you don't.
Everything we talk
you know,
about circles back to this Jordan Montgomery shit.
So just, you know, especially when the pitching is struggling, like think about the mood we would be in a different state if, you know, if the Yankees pitching staff had looked great in the last 2 weeks, you know, like I would still be very upset, but you could understand it. The Yankees pitching staff has not been good in the last like month. It's just not. So that's another, you know, negative of this Jordan Montgomery trade. But what are we doing for brownie points
here? Okay, we forgot to do brownie points with starting pitching. I'm going to give a 0.5 for starting pitching.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a 0 out of 5. They are in need of a string of good starts.
Who do you trust most in the starting rotation right
Nestor,
now?
Frankie Montas.
Okay, fair.
Haven't even seen him pitch yet, so that's saying a lot. Nestor's up
Nestor.
There.
I forgot about Frankie. And then bullpen, I'm going to give them, you know, I don't think they were terrible, right? Marinaccio, Chapman, Loizaga all pitched well. They didn't really have much high leverage, like holding lead situations. Wandy was good. Trevino and Efros both pitched a scoreless inning. You know, I really don't care, though. 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a 2. Like we've talked about, there's some good performances. Chapman, you know, even going, I'm going to even push this back to the Royals series. Clay Holmes, not good. So, yeah, I'm going to give them a 2. They definitely could be much better than what
they
were.
Okay, offense?
Yeah, I mean, the whole offense story is Mr. Judgy. Aaron Judge is, you know, he proves it. He had a little slump. And then he says, I'm still the best player in baseball. Screw you guys. Goes off against Kansas City. Keeps hitting home runs. Dude is at 43 on pace for 66. Do you want to talk a little bit about the record-breaking stuff? Because that's I see a lot of people talking about what, you know, a lot of younger fans may really not, you know, care about the record. Or they might think, oh, the Barry Bonds thing. But then there's some older fans who, you know, they don't value the Barry Bonds as the record because of steroids. So, you know, if he beats 61, is that really the official record because of the steroids?
73 is Barry Bonds' record, MLB record. 66 is Sammy Sosa. Oh, no. 70 is McGuire and Sosa. And then 66 is another Sammy Sosa stuff. There's a lot of guys in the upper 60s range with the steroid era, but, you know, 60... There's three guys that have done it multiple times. McGuire hit over 65 like 2 or 3 times in his career. There's guys who are up there, but all those guys are steroid guys. And then you look down, 61 is Maris. If Judge can get to 61, 62, that's a big deal in my book. Like that's really cool stuff. I'd love to watch that happen.
Yeah, like and the question is like, do you care? Yankees don't win the World Series, but Aaron Judge breaks a home run record. Yeah, like actually, I don't care. I actually don't care. Well, no, I mean, it's not obvious because you just said
it's a pretty big deal, but if you're making
a
trade for a World Series, like, Judge can hit 20 home runs and then.
Yeah, well, I'm not a trade. I'm just saying, like, no one will give a shit about this record if you don't win in the postseason. Like, honestly, no one will care. But how magical would it be to break Roger Maris's record, which is basically the Yankee and AL record? It would break the AL record and, in some people's view, would break, you know, the all-time record. But yeah, none of this matters. None of this season, none of anything we're talking about matters unless the Yankees win in the postseason. That's
and
it.
And back to 70, so, like 70 is not out of the question yet either for Judgy.
If he's at like 58 with like 2 weeks left, I don't care. Like, you know, it would be good for the fans, good for the publicity. Aaron Judge is the most popular player right now. So I don't really care if he does it. As long as he's not injured and not tired when
he comes
to the
postseason. Yeah, you don't want to see him chasing 61 with like two series to go.
Nursing a calf injury or something like that. No. You can't have that happen. And, this is not the type of Yankees team that would do that. You've seen them, pull players right before, a no-hitter and stuff like that. They don't really seem to care about this kind of stuff. So I hope nothing's different, and I hope we get a healthy Judge in the postseason. But circling back to the Yankees' offense, that's not really the problem this series. They score 6 in one game. They score 3 against Castillo, not bad. And then I forgot how many runs they scored the first game.
7.
This is the game where in the first inning, you get DJ hard single. You get Judge double, and then Rizzo 3-run home run. That is just like chef's kiss, exactly what we want to see from our top three. And can I just talk about LeMahieu for a second? He is so good. Like, I know everyone talks about Aaron Judge. DJ LeMahieu is getting on base for Aaron Judge, and now all those solo shots are turning into 2-run home runs.
Reason why he leads the league
in
RBIs.
If DJ, I said second half MVP for DJ, and I mean, dude is hitting 400 in the last 30 games, something insane like that. So really happy with DJ. He is so freaking good. He hits fastballs that are already by him, and he barrels them somehow, which is so impressive. I love watching DJ LeMahieu hit. I think he's definitely my favorite player in the Yankees.
Especially now, circling back to Monty. And then also another guy who's turned it on is Rizzo in the middle of the lineup. He hit 4 straight games with a home run. We hadn't seen the power stroke from Rizzo recently in the last month, but now he's turned it back on, which is nice to see. He's back up to 27 home runs, which is crazy. Rizzo at the number 3 spot is doing his thing. Top 3 guys, nothing to talk about there. They've been amazing all year and still are. The problem, the bottom of the lineup, Hicks is struggling badly. I didn't want to like shit on him too much, but what can you do? He's grounding into a lot of double plays, which hurt the Yankees rallies. First and third, one out, double play. Back to the Royal series, he grounded into double play with the bases loaded. Like Hicksy, he's struggling a little bit again. He is the 4th outfielder when everyone's healthy. So,
well, it's
he's not.
I mean, he might be the 5th now. I mean, you get Judge, Stanton, Benintendi. Now you have Bader. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't talk about Harrison Bader. But that's 4th. Aaron Hicks right now is the 5th outfielder.
We have to see Bader get healthy. He's...
Yeah, I know. But, you heard Brian Cashman talk about it. There's a reason why they got him, and they're going to play him. Like, they really like what Bader brings to the table, like defensive wise and speed wise. But this is another reason I don't get it. I think Tilo is way faster and just as good defensively as him. Like any fast minor leaguer can run down balls in the outfield. Like that's why I don't understand the value of this trade. Again, we're circling back to the Jordan Montgomery again. That's why this trade doesn't make any sense. You have Tilo, you have Benintendi. Like why do you need another defensive outfielder? Like.
Bader is special.
Really
I think he's like a tier above Tilo's defensive. Like he's, I was watching some of his. He's insane. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Who
Bader as a player? I love.
Yeah, we heard that about IKF. We heard that IKF was an insane defender. We heard that we heard that Benintendi is like one of the best contact hitters in MLB. What happens?
He's
25
like
with
Bader
an infield single.
I just don't get the Jordan Montgomery stuff. Obviously, as we talked about.
Well, I think you're justifying it in your head. He's really not that good. He has like a 600
OPS. Dude, last year he put up a 4 WAR season with 750 OPS. Like he's been fine. He's a good player. He's a solid player for the playoffs.
Where is he starting in a playoff game?
Okay, so you got Judge. If Donaldson doesn't turn it on, then fucking put Stanton as a DH and have a good
defensive
outfield.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that if Donaldson starts playing well, because in the media
he
said
that finding
he found
it, like,
it the
every
other day,
good
whatever
series
that, whatever
he had,
that means.
He found in the Boston series, didn't he?
I mean, maybe we have another Columbus. Maybe we have Columbus .2. He keeps finding stuff. He's exploring and discovering new things all the time. Yeah, if Josh Donaldson is this bad consistently, he's a bench player. Or, like, honestly, like, I like other people off the bench more than Josh Donaldson. Like, he just doesn't put together good at-bats right now. But, yeah, I guess you would have, you know, Bader in center, Judge in right, Benintendi in left. And then you got some wiggle room. But, like everyone knows, Stanton hits better when he's playing defense, too. So then you get Stanton in there one game. Then you can, I guess, you can DH a Hicks or a Donaldson, Carpenter, whoever's hitting better. And then Bader, yeah. That's the other thing is, what do you do with Matt Carpenter? Because if you're DH Stanton, you can't do, you know, you can't play Carpenter, and he's been one of our most consistent players over the last 2 months. So I mean, this is really a head scratcher for me. That's, you know, I thought about all this stuff since the trade, and it still doesn't make sense.
Well, okay.
And plus, Matt Carpenter, by the way, is not a good pinch hitter. If you've seen his stats, he's like 0-for-20 or like 1-for-20 or something like that as a pinch hitter. Like, he plays also much like better when he starts.
So you cannot take him at the lineup.
Exactly. So if he's still hitting like this in the postseason, what do you
he's
do?
He's 100% the DH.
You have Bader, Hicks, and Stanton.
No. Bader's like a bench guy. Are you kidding me?
Not on the bench.
Judge in center, Benintendi in left, Stanton in right, game one. Lock it in.
And then what? And then you pinch run Bader for Stanton, and then Stanton doesn't get a late in the bat?
I just don't see Bader being a big factor this year. I got to see him healthy.
Exactly. So why the fuck do they trade Jordan Montgomery for him?
I'm fully agreeing with you.
I know. I'm just yelling at the baseball gods. I'm not yelling at you. I just don't understand this.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Fuck, man. Like, you see how we, like, talked through that whole lineup situation, and
it still doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Because, okay, if you didn't have Donaldson, okay, like, then you DH Carpenter, you know, you play Stanton,
and then
it still doesn't make any sense.
We're not even talking
about Bader's not even playing.
We're, like, short on arms right now. Whatever, man. We talked about this. Higgy and Trevino both have really good series. Trevino hits 2 home runs in one game. Higgy comes in the next game, hits a home run. Our catchers are doing their thing. Isaiah kind of left us, slapped some singles around, obviously. That's what he does. Glaber had a tough series. He struggled a little bit. Carpenter had some extra base hits. He had a couple doubles. But,
yeah. And speaking of Donaldson, he actually pimps a homer. You know, it was hit to the far end of the bullpen, but out there, you can't tell us on a line drive if it's definitely out. Like, think about how many balls he's hit out there that he's pimped that haven't gone out. So when I saw him drop the bat on a ball to, like, the deep gap, I was like, oh, God, he did not just do it again. And it does clear the fence, so I guess, you know, it's within reason. But, I mean, if I was Donaldson, that's my 11th home run of the year. I'm getting paid $25 million. I would not
be
pimping
every. And he also hit a double that game, so he's up to a 220, 10 home runs, 38 RBIs with a 685 OPS. Josh did find something, though, so I'm kind of interested to see what he does in St. Louis. Offensive brownie points, I'm going to give him a 3.1.
I'm going to give him a 4. I actually thought the offense was pretty good. I thought they had some good at-bats against Castillo.
The 6 runs against Gilbert is encouraging. He's been a top 5 AL pitcher.
Yeah. Because Gilbert, going back to last year, I remember when we first saw Gilbert, and he dominated the Yankees. Like, he was all over them. So it was really good to see them hit one of the top
5 this year.
I would say 10 pitchers in the AL right now. Yeah, he only really does have 2 pitches.
He's like a Tyler Glasnow light kind of, you know?
Kind of like I was just gonna say
long
he's like Tyler
legs,
Glasnow.
Long arms.
But it's good that they were on his fastball. DJ LeMahieu, man, I just cannot emphasize how much his play has impacted the Yankees positively. Like, he just easy, free and easy swing all day, and it's just a beautiful thing. So yeah, I think. Think a 4 out of 5.
And are you going DJ Golden
Egg? Good for me.
Just jump in.
Well, I don't know. Let's get
Rotten
the bad
egg,
stuff
okay.
out of the way first. Rotten Egg.
Yeah,
gonna do
I
a
have
3-2-1 action or.
Well, I know who you're going with.
All right,
I'm
3.
Go for. All right, let's go 3-2. Andrew Benintendi.
2-1. Garrett Cole. Okay, that's very warranted. Benintendi's been bad. I got him on fantasy. Picked him up a week ago, actually, before he was on the Yankees. He was hot. He was batting like 450 comes over to the Yankees. Sorry, this is your rotten egg, but comes over to the Yankees and he looks nervous. He's getting under the ball. You know, we really haven't seen Benintendi actually piece up a ball yet.
He had one good swing in the last game. He pieced up a ball to left field.
But he has no power. So, like, I'm saying we haven't seen him. He has one base hit, bullshit hit. We haven't seen him get, like, a hard line drive. Like, he's supposed to be a guy that sprays line drives all over the field. We haven't seen one of those yet. Yeah. And he's almost 30 at-bats.
That's why he's getting my rotten egg. So. Andrew Benintendi. To me, he doesn't look nervous. He's probably just settling in. As Ollie told us before when the trade happened, he is a very streaky player, hot and cold, off and on. So I'm just assuming he's going through one of his cold stretches. Hopefully he can turn it around, get away from Yankee Stadium a little bit. That might help if that's what's causing a little bit of an issue here. But I honestly don't have too much worry that he's gonna come back to being Andrew Benintendi. He's too good of a hitter to not be... to be this bad. He's hitting, 1-for-25 or something to start his Yankee career? He'll be back.
Yeah, not good. He
does have a lot of walks. He's been walking a shit ton, which is nice to see. His on-base percentage is still there. He's still stealing bases. He got 2 stolen bases. Yeah, I think he had, 3 or 4 with the Royals, so that's probably a thing that Boone emphasized when he came over here. Yeah, what?
Yeesh.
1-for-20, yeah.
1-for-20. 2 stolen
struggling
bases. Yeesh. Yeah, and Garrett Cole, I don't have to say much. Highest paid terrible pitcher right now, honestly. I hate to, do that money thing as a Yankee fan, but it's definitely a factor. If he was getting paid $15 million, okay, 3.35 ERA, I could see that. But he's not. He's getting paid $36 million and he's getting paid to be a dominant ace. And that's not what we've seen in the last 2 months of Garrett Cole pitching. He has to get his shit together. This playoff run is not going to be successful without Garrett Cole on his A game. And that's it. That's period. If he's not good this postseason, we're not winning anything. We cannot afford to have a almost near 4 ERA.
You're really
ace.
Rounding up.
Can't
now.
Do that.
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's unacceptable. It's
unacceptable.
Golden He's supposed
egg,
to be
please.
The ace.
Let's talk about something positive.
3-2
Anthony
1.
Rizzo.
DJ LeMahieu.
Jose Trevino. Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah. Wait. We didn't talk about. But
can we not
boy,
talk
IKF.
About your boy IKF? Please.
He's actually
spare
been.
Me.
He's been
no,
actually.
No, please.
So the two guys you've talked
no,
shit about.
No, wait, hold up.
Ken,
hold up.
Ken
I don't
want to
hear this
time.
Trevino stuff. I've been lead conductor of Trevino Train since April. April.
No, dude. Yeah, I would. I would screenshot
don't get
a text
me started,
messages
man.
Right now about how
Trevi
how
Train
Trevino should be the
Trevi
bench
Train.
Player.
Who was the conductor?
I want Contreras.
Of train.
Imagine.
I'm. No.
Doesn't
no,
matter.
No,
you're
no,
off
I'm
of the train now. Dude, I don't care what you say. Your text messages about how
well,
Trevino's
I never
not a
said
real
that.
Option.
I never
like,
said he wasn't
like,
a
yeah,
real option. I said I'd rather
yeah,
have him
you
play
did.
3
yes,
or 4 days a week.
Yes, you did.
And that
yes,
makes
you did.
100% sense.
He's my starting catcher. He is my starting catcher. And, okay, you know what? You're off the train. I guess you don't like him now. Last 15 games, he's batting .302, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs. A walk in there too. He has 13 hits. Jose Trevino is my catcher. You can go and be a Cubs fan. You can have Wilson Contreras.
Dude,
oh, that's so fun. I get to watch Wilson Contreras. Jose Trevino is my
nothing,
catcher.
I had nothing so. Against Trevino when I was talking about Wilson Contreras. Because
you want him to be a bench
Dude,
player. You,
so
you want him to be a bench player. Say it.
I'm talking
say what
about
you
Trevino,
said in the chat.
Dude.
Back
so
up your fucking thing.
There's 30 catchers in the MLB. There's 30 teams. I'd say 20 catchers out of the 30... I'll say there's only 5 catchers that are starting catchers that start majority of the games. All the other catchers, they have a tandem. You start one, you bench one. You start one, you bench one. The tandem the Yankees have now with Higgy and Trevino is weak. Is weak, maybe top. That's not because... That's,
and that's
I'm,
not
I'm,
because
I'm
Trevino, that's because of Higgy.
Trevino. I have a problem with Higgy. If the tandem was Trevino and Wilson Contreras, an 850 OPS guy, close to a 900 OPS, dude, the Yankees have one 900 OPS guy. What? Yeah. Trevino would...
I understand, but...
He would play the same amount of games.
Okay, if you have a problem, then you should say Ben Roethlisberger should be called up.
Thank you.
Then Ben Roethlisberger should be called up.
Ben Roethlisberger should be up, and Higgy should be down, dude. Higgy isn't a... isn't a competent catcher, dude. He's just not.
The numbers say that he's really hitting good, but dude, he just doesn't look that good. Seasons. Like the eye test. And not
it
just
doesn't.
That,
he looks robotic.
Sometimes
he looks like Guy
Sella
behind
honest.
The plate. Come on, dude. No, I doesn't watch this.
Well, clip it, clip it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then I just feel like you were slandering
yes,
IKF.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean,
I was
no,
slandering.
I actually IKF too, but I feel like
you
were
that's
slandering
see,
Trevino.
Okay.
I mean, dude, that's my catcher. That's my catcher. I don't want anyone
but
else.
Dude, he
Jose
does,
Trevino
he can't
is a
start
god.
Every
I love
single
him.
Game. Do you get my point
IKF
though? Like Trevino's
hot.
Games wouldn't be down.
Yes. Oh, obviously. No, I'm not arguing. I'm not that's arguing why. With you about who he can't start every game. I'm just saying that
that's
he should so, not.
That's just
he
the name,
be the
though. Like the
catcher.
Game started
Period.
Wouldn't change for Trevino if we had Wilson Contreras.
I mean, he would be in the postseason lineup
and
over
he
him.
He can't start every single game though. That's my point. You have.
All right.
I think you get my point now.
Moving on. IKF in his last
can we not
games,
do this,
so
please? I'm
size.
Getting off.
It's a month
I'm
and
off.
A half.
I don't want to hear it.
He's batting .294. Listen. He's batting .294. He has 14 RBIs, which is more. This is the second on the team. You better put your fucking headphones on. Put your headphones on. Listen. See, guys, he doesn't even want to listen because he knows that IKF is secretly good. He doesn't even want to listen. That is so soft. Can you just listen?
What is there to talk about? He's the
that is
worst
so soft
hitter
that you won't even listen.
In baseball
you
at
won't even
shortstop
listen to
besides
IKF's
Tyler
numbers?
Walls. Taylor Walls.
What do you mean worst? He's batting .300 and he has 15 that's RBIs in the last 30. That's great.
I've had this talk so many times.
Tell me what's... Every time you say something bad,
no,
he gets
I'm
a clutch hit, and then you
the
don't
top
say
of my
anything
lungs saying
after
Isaiah
that.
Kiner-Falefa is not a starting caliber shortstop, dude. Did you see the Royals series? He's booted two more balls right at him. Right at him. Isaac is... What a perfect time for him to disconnect. What a perfect time for him to disconnect. Come back, please. Please, man. I have more to say. What a perfect time for you to disconnect, huh? Coincidence? I think not.
Do you know who also has 14 RBIs in the last month?
I couldn't give a single fuck, dude.
Can you guess?
Who else has 14 RBIs?
You know who is like the hottest player on the Yankees right now? Anthony Rizzo has 14 RBIs in the last month. Tied with IKF. He's a ribby man.
I don't
He's
give
literally
a shit.
One of the clutchest hitters on the Yankees, and the fact that you don't see it is insane. He is such
He's
a clutch
one of the
hitter.
What did you just say? What did you
He's
just say?
He's one of the clutchest hitters on the Yankees. He's more clutch than Gallo.
Oh
He's God. More clutch than Trevino.
Oh, yeah, Gallo's
He's more
on
clutch
the Yankees.
Than
You're
He's more clutch than Donaldson.
Yes. And what is Donaldson? Not a starting player right now. Name
I'm just saying.
Dude.
I'm just saying you go through the Yankees lineup. I don't think Gleyber Torres has that many RBIs in the last month. Let me check. I don't think he does. I understand he's not like the best defensive shortstop, but like you can't
That's
just sit here
problem.
And be like he's terrible. Like
problem.
He's not terrible.
He is terrible. He is 29th in MLB shortstops at every single offensive category besides average.
Gleyber Torres has been on fire. He has 11 RBIs last month.
I don't care, man. You just field ground balls and throw them to first, and I wouldn't care if he hit 200.
Well, he's hitting 300 in the month. Like
in the month, I don't care about a month of August in the regular season.
Sorry, last 30 games, so July and August.
No, that's not
He has
July
near 700 OPS. That's MLB average.
I don't care if he was hitting 650. Just field ground balls and throw to first.
I don't know.
You have
the
there
IKF
is skills
is
on
out
the baseball
control.
Field.
He is not a bad player.
Oh, my God. What don't you see, man? You
I know
dude,
he's not
he has,
the best defensively. It's not hurting us that much. It's really not. Yeah, I
all
understand.
Five of Gerrit Cole's earned runs wouldn't have happened if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa made one single play.
Yeah, and that happened to Gleyber too last year. I like this is the
yeah,
issue.
And
is
what
that
did Gleyber
you
do?
Call
Gleyber moved over. You don't keep starting a guy that's been such a bad player. He can't field the ball. His WRC plus and his OPS plus is in the 70s, 29th ranked shortstop offensively, and he's like one of the worst defenders.
I think that the evaluation of that,
you go around the league,
that,
you don't
do
find
value,
a worse shortstop.
They do not value clutch hitting singles. It's because he doesn't hit home runs. He doesn't hit for power. Like, he gets his clutch singles a lot. Like,
he's a ground ball machine,
nothing in
dude.
Baseball. No one in baseball values, like, like ground contact anymore at all. And I understand because home runs are a more valuable commodity. I understand that. Runs. But like you just like people just say like, oh, he doesn't hit home runs, like oh, like they disregard the clutch hitting. They disregard all this stuff because he doesn't hit for power, he doesn't slug over a certain percentage. I hate that.
Clutch hitting doesn't carry bad defense and bad offensive stats around it. Tyler Walls, I agree with you. Can live with it because he is unbelievable defensively.
I agree with you.
You need to give me an exceptional
skill. The routine
skill.
Ground balls are sometimes a problem. I agree with you. I'm there. But like the slander about him hitting, I don't understand. Like he's a good, solid hitter. He just doesn't hit for power.
No, he's not a solid hit. Dude, weighted runs created plus is a stat that shows how much run value he gives to a team. Joey Gallo had a better run value. He was better WRC plus than Isaiah Kiner.
I don't care what a stat says. I can see with my eyes. He gets a lot of clutch hits. Like I don't need a stat to tell me that
he
Joey Gallo was better than IKF. Joey Gallo is off the team. He's not better. Like Joey Gallo.
You were the one
better.
Who brought up Joey Gallo's name, by the way. But I'm not saying he's better. I'm just saying Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is one of the worst offensive players. He gives you average, but a lot of players give you average, dude. Gleyber Torres has the same average as him, but has way higher offensive stats.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
Gleyber Torres is a better player. I'm not saying Gleyber Torres is a worse player.
If your only skill on the baseball field is to hit for average, it can't be 265.
I mean,
you have to give me at least 315 for that to be the only thing.
I mean, he's batting 294 in the last 30 games. Like that's like that is being on a hot streak.
294 doesn't carry bad defense and no power. I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
I don't need power. I don't need power for that position. I don't need it either.
I need defense. That's
you don't
the
need
only
all
thing
power
I'm asking
hitters.
For.
Defense. I agree with you.
Yeah, so you agree with me. That's the only problem I have with him. If he had Tyler Walls' defense, I wouldn't even say one bad word about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Okay. I mean, I still think the Yankees should call up Peraza just to see what happens. Like, you know,
you do. So which side are you on?
I like IKF. I'm just saying it's worth to try him out. Like if he's hitting so well in the minor leagues, he deserves to be up here. And obviously the defense is supposed to be better. I don't say get rid of IKF. I actually kind of like IKF, but I do think they should trial Peraza. I think every Yankee fan believes that, whether they like IKF or not. I think that's a normal take.
Good. Okay. I didn't think you were on that side. Obviously,
but do I think IKF starting in a playoff game? Yes.
They're well, you want to try out Peraza, right? What if Peraza's good?
I mean, you know the story with routine ground balls, young inexperienced players in the postseason, man. It could be just the same thing. It could be,
but why can't we just try to find out?
I said we could try, but I don't think the Yankees automatically start him, Peraza. I don't think
so. We have to see, right? Like the whole point of him trying out shortstop is to
we're getting
see
to the point now
it.
Where I said mid August to late August, Peraza should be called up, and it's getting you know.
No, but I've
another
accepted
week,
it.
We're getting to that point.
I've accepted. I don't think Peraza is getting called up this year. I think
really?
They trust. I don't think so. I think they would have done it by now. Okay, can I talk about dude? Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was supposed to be the stopgap until the young shortstops were ready. I don't know how much more ready they can be, and they haven't done it yet. So I don't think it's happening.
Well, maybe they're waiting for Volpe. Maybe they don't like Peraza.
Okay, then trade him. I don't know what we're doing with him.
Good point.
I don't know. I don't know their plan anymore.
You know that the scouts and the Yankee front office who sees him every day, they work his metrics. If they see something they don't like if they see that his swing speed is like fast for the minors but not for the majors, they're not going to call him up because they know he's not going to hit. Like, you know what I mean? Like if they could
you
see something
know,
like that
though.
That we don't see. Like because they always say that like, oh, he could be a really good AAA player, but you know, if they're saying something like that, then they see something in his swing that we don't see.
He's 20 years old.
I know, I'm just saying maybe they think he needs more time to get his bat speed up. Maybe he has like a whole cold zone where like he just can't hit outside pitches. So, you know, like, so if they call him up to the major league, you know, the major leagues, pitchers will just, expose that part of him. If the Yankees know that's going to happen, they may not call him up.
I'd rather have Marwin Gonzalez as my starting shortstop.
I like Marwin Gonzalez too, but I don't
makes
know.
The routine plays.
Yeah.
It's better.
IKF has more range though, but yeah, he makes the routine plays better.
Yeah, I might have no, not Glaber, but I'm getting close, dude. Okay, any more other stuff? Did we give points? Oh, we did give points for offense, and then we did the egg stuff.
Oh, wait. We didn't do golden egg. You didn't give golden egg. Who'd you give for golden egg?
I said a few names.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't give it. I did DJ LeMahieu. You can. Oh, you did. You gave Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo. But then, yeah, I said Trevino. Whatever. Anthony Rizzo. BBD, put it down.
Obviously, Judge is the obvious golden egg. He's the best player on the planet. But I just don't want to pick Aaron Judge every time. Like, boring for the viewers. It's boring for the viewers.
Yeah. You know, we've actually gotten like 50, 60 views on our last two episodes, which is nice to see.
So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. You know, if you like our content, definitely smash that like button, demolish the subscribe button, annihilate the bell. You know, we appreciate you guys listening.
What to watch for St. Louis Frankie Montas?
Yeah, I'm excited to see him pitch. Really excited to see him pitch
Sunday afternoon.
And I'm obviously scared that Jordan Montgomery will throw a no-hitter against us.
No, you're not.
No, the Yankees are going to hit him. I actually I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be rooting for Monty. I don't care. Like Monty.
That's fair. You love him.
I want Jordan Montgomery to pitch like 7 innings, like 2 hits, no runs. Or like maybe Judge clips
no
him
runs?
On changeup. Yep. I want Yankees to score off the bullpen.
Actually, no, that'd be kind of sick. Like Monty just comes out and why the
Monty
fuck
just like
you
fuck
treat?
You guys. Like you guys need me.
This
and
is why
he just goes out there
and
shoves. Yeah. Like, come on. Every Yankee fan will be rooting for Monty, I think.
Yeah. Can't hate Monty, man. I think that'll wrap things up, huh?
Unless you got a question of the day.
Unless I do have a question of the day.
Do not. All right, so I guess we're wrapping it up, or? I think we're wrapping it up, guys.
Name 3 cities in Australia.
Sydney, Melbourne.
Tick tock.
Sydney, Melbourne. I actually can't. That's the only 2 I have. You're looking it up. Can you name 3 cities in Australia?
No, I can't. I can't. We could. Between the both of us, there's got to be something.
Okay, Sydney, Melbourne. What?
Sydney, Melbourne. Thank you guys for watching Bleacher Boys Media Podcast. We will be back talking about the St. Louis series after the Frankie Montas start, so we'll probably be excited. Hour and 12 minutes in. Thank you guys. If you guys are still listening, we love you very much. Peace out.
Bye, guys.